97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
So we are going to wait for all the information to come in from this vantage point, but to back up what the president said, what I've seen so far, do I think this was preventable? Absolutely.
Yeah. In Kyiv, Ukraine, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. Along the southern border, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. At the White House, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. In St. Louis, Griff Jenkins, Fox News.
Tell me where in the world is
Griff Jenkins.
Watch your back.
All right, my buddy Griff with us this morning. I appreciate you giving me some time because I know it must be crazy up there in D.C. right now.
Yeah, it is, Mark. You know, I'd come home last night, made dinner, and was working on my pitch, which we learned late yesterday from the president, and I was channeling with some officials in the administration, to include the DHS secretary, about this move to put migrants in Gitmo, and I tweeted out about how it's quite a solutions-based, smart move because many of the countries that will be sent there are recalcitrant countries that don't take their people back. And as I'm working on that, of course, we got the news of this crash. And having covered, you know, lots of stories like this that I've been on with you guys, I immediately brought up the D.C. scanner in about, 30 minutes into falling. And the crash happened around 9 o'clock. I'll be on it tonight. I'll start this afternoon and go through midnight covering it to see how close I can get. I'm about to spend the morning trying to figure out what vantage point the press can get to. But about 30 minutes after it crashed, even on the scanner, the D.C. police scanner, you could hear people saying that they were questioning that there were any survivors. And it was at that moment that I knew we're into a very tragic and serious situation. And, you know, here we go, trying to figure out. I mean, as we all probably just heard or watched from the, you know, Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy, who I know well, doing basically on day one having to deal with this, you know, gave us what he knows, which is that this seems absolutely, in his words, preventable. Regional American Jet 342 was on a track that it was clear to land, and that helicopter was on a training mission that it apparently, according to officials, that this was an experienced crew, had made many times. How does this happen? So really, this is going to be a day of answering a lot of questions, particularly if this could have been prevented.
I think I saw on Fox News not too long ago, they had started releasing some of the verbatim between air traffic control trying to get in touch with the pilot from the Black Hawk helicopter. And that's what's so alarming to me is there was no response. They were trying to warn him, you have a plane coming right at you. So that's what makes me wonder, well, you have to guess, was it intentional, which I don't think it was, but you can't, I guess, rule that out just yet. Was there a medical episode? Was there a technical issue where for some reason they couldn't hear that? There's just so many questions right now.
Well, and you raise good questions, though, Kim, because is that audio where they're asking the Black Hawk crew, do you see the CRJ? That's what it was, this regional jet. And there's no answer. And then obviously you hear the latter part where the air traffic control realizes that something bad has happened. So they've got to hold everybody at that point. And so that moment is going to be, I think, the key focus that hopefully later today, Sean Duffy and others will tell us, help us piece those, put that piece together.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the end of the day, if it was as simple as a human error in an air traffic control that knew that these, you know, two, I mean, the fascinating thing, and you guys have been here to D.C., and you know well, Mark, you know, at any given time, you could be riding your bike down the National Mall and you're going to have commercial jets, military helicopters, the D.C. Park Police, Coast Guard, all sorts of flight things flying over you that are in a controlled airspace. The airspace over Washington, D.C., because D.C. is so small, the proximity of the National Mall, Lincoln, the White House, the airport, it is one of the most controlled airspaces on the planet. And so to have a mistake like this that put those two on a collision path and not realize it in the most controlled airspace is really quite unthinkable. And that's why your question is so important, Kim.
I listened to John Scott get pulled into your coverage earlier this morning, and he referred to something with the helicopter I thought was interesting. Let me play that for a second here.
Air traffic control at Reagan National is talking to the helicopter crew. It had a call sign of PAT-25. Now, PAT stands for Priority Air Transport. Fort Belvoir there, where this helicopter was apparently based or flying out of, handles the, as I said in an earlier report, handles the Secretary of Defense flights, handles the Secretary of the Army flights on choppers. So it was an Army PAT-25 was the call sign, and the tower is asking him if he sees the regional jet.
Yeah, they had to wonder at first if there were any VIPs on that helicopter, right, Griff? Because that's what it was designated as.
They sure did. And in the internal reporting, so Fox has, you know, our internal reporting, and then, of course, that's largely an email-based system.
Yeah.
And in full disclosure, as many of you know, Pete Hegseth is a close friend of mine that happened to become the Secretary of Defense. And I've spent a lot of time, more than a quarter of a century around the military, having come to Fox in the year 2000 with Ollie North. As soon as I saw PAT-25, the call signs, I know the call signs. I've spent a lot of time in military helicopters to include the invasion of Iraq. I immediately just texted Pete directly to his personal cell and said, "Are you okay?" And he confirmed yes, and then I added to my reporting that on background I can confirm that the Secretary of Defense was not among them, but he's probably, you know, monitoring it. And then, of course, he got out there with his own thing. But when you saw that call sign, you knew that, you know, this is Black Hawk's move. Any number of priority people, to include, of course, the Marines with HMX that fly Marine One, but anything flying that sort of path is often got VIPs. Fortunately, there was the Secretary of Defense was not among that, but we did lose three experienced Army crew, and so our thoughts and prayers for those families. But it does not appear that there was any sort of military VIP on this helicopter.
Yeah. You know, on the other story you were going to cover today with the Guantanamo Bay thing, Griff, have you been to Guantanamo?
I have been to Gitmo. It's been many years.
I had no idea it was that big. The president said they could house 30,000 people there. I mean, that's amazing to me. I thought it was several hundred, to be honest.
No, and that's only because, you know, over the many years we had the dwindling population of Taliban fighters, really, that we housed there. But when you go, I mean, it has its own airport. It has a gigantic base there, and the number of things that the U.S. government can and has done over the years is more than just a small prison area. And the reason why I really want to drill into this story in the coming days, and I'd love if they'd send me down there, is that, you know, when you're thinking about how to approach this, if you're Tom Homan, you're thinking, now here's the challenges, guys. We know as soon as we take over, we're going to go get murderers, rapists, child molesters, the worst of the worst, but many of them will be from countries that don't take their citizens back. That includes Cuba, Venezuela, Nicaragua, China, Iran, Syria, Lebanon, you name it. And where could we put them if we can't send them back? Well, Gitmo. It's almost like a no-brainer, because, you know, if we're going to have to fight and negotiate, as we saw President Trump do with Colombia, which worked out pretty well in his favor when they said they're not taking them, and then all of a sudden they were taking them. But, you know, the negotiations to get people to take their criminals back to places like Venezuela, Iran, China is going to be much more difficult. And so it may serve as a really smart option, because obviously to have such dangerous criminals kept out of the country is much better than keeping them here at home.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, I was shocked. I'll look forward to that. I hope they send you down there, Griff, and, you know, covering this afternoon, I know it won't be easy, and we wish you the best, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you, guys, and have a good weekend.
Yep, we'll talk to you soon. Griff Jenkins there live in D.C., and, yeah, I mean, we've covered these before. I covered the fatal accident at Lambert back in the 90s when the one plane came in and clipped the other one, the smaller plane on the tarmac out there, and actually did some reporting then for the CBS Morning Show from St. Louis when they were covering that. And they're not easy things to cover, and then particularly given the fact that it's a recovery effort, still lots of unanswered questions. Hopefully we'll get answers to some of those later today.
Get more at 971talk.com.